called to get a booty action. Leg it down, back on the ankle. Oh, got to be. Yo.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Vol Nation, get involved. I'm Jay Hizzy.
Shut your big
This is Larkin. How's everybody doing out there in VolNation.com?
Coming at you with episode numero 3.
Yeah, we hope we can get some interest in listening to the show again this week, and I think we've got a lot of information ready to go.
Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. Ate a lot of turkey and...
Well, Hizzy, for you, that'd be cannibalism, wouldn't it?
Nothing. You're killing yourself over there, Larkin.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Well, it's November the 28th. Like I said, episode number 3, the Vol Nation podcast. Get involved. Got some interesting things to talk about tonight.
Well, we've got a lot of stuff. Football season is finally over. The pain has stopped.
Or it put us out of our misery.
Yes, no doubt. I think it's good for that we're not going to a bowl game now. Even though it's good to have the practices, but this whole year has just been pretty bad. So,
well, it would have been interesting to see what Cutcliffe and some of these any other staff changes that might take place in the next little bit. What effect that might have had on the team?
Speaking of
always
the
optimist.
Well, yeah. Speaking of the coaching carousel, it didn't take long for Stevens and Washington to get the boot out the back door. I think you've got 3 coaches let go. And just today, 5:15, I think, Cutcliffe was named offensive coordinator. I really appreciate that extensive search. You know, Phil Fulmer always proving that he doesn't like to look too far from the tree.
Well, it was a big surprise. We were all sitting on pins and needles waiting for the big announcement.
Huge surprise. I mean, there was a lot of guys in contention for the position. But
I heard there were 3 candidates there at the press conference, and Fulmer was just going to name which one got the job.
Did Butch Davis fly in?
I think he did.
Wow.
I think he did.
I guess he wasn't really preparing for that game on Sunday.
Not at all. Not at all. This is far more important.
Hey,
so
at least we didn't spend $400,000 on a search firm.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah, let's just hope that Cutcliffe is able to, you know, produce some of the magic that he did in the 90s. Because if you go back and you look at him, you know, he did ride the backs of some, I could say, over 10 years, produced probably the most prolific passers in UT history, starting out with, I guess, was Andy Kelly under him or was that Fulmer?
That was Fulmer. Okay. Heath Shuler would have been Cutcliffe's first as offensive coordinator.
Okay. All right. Well, then he started in with Heath Shuler, moved over to Peyton Manning. Of course, you know, we had a couple of dogs in there, but then we went to T. Martin, which I think if you go back and you look at someone that's really developed a player, you got a guy coming in his junior season after the most prolific passer in Peyton Manning, who currently is beating Pittsburgh right now 7-0. He steps in as a junior and then wins the national championship. I mean, that right there I think is player development, especially with a guy that really only threw maybe 4 or 5 passes before his first game in 98.
Right.
So I think that's I think Cutcliffe is in player development, and that's one big argument that a lot of people have said that Sanders just wasn't able to develop quarterbacks. I mean, he got a lot out of Clausen, I think, or you know, Clausen if you're Bob Davie. But I don't think we really got the true potential out of any quarterback under the Sanders era.
Yeah, no. Clausen's dad would probably agree with you on that he didn't probably get full development out of Casey. But,
yeah, Casey.
Know, a lot of other factors involved in that too.
And you can really say that Rick Clausen played with the heart. And once again, I said it last week. I'm glad the Clausen era is over. I do not believe we're going to get Jimmy. And to be honest with you, I don't care.
Yeah, we're not getting Jimmy.
So, coaching carousel. Who do you? I mean, do you have any idea? A lot of names have been tossed around for those that might work under Cutcliffe as far as assistant offensive coaches go. T.D. Woods, I've heard, has been thrown in the mix. Obviously, Trooper Taylor is sticking around, right?
As far as we know.
Yeah. They also said earlier today that there would be immediate announcements. So, Cutcliffe is probably, over the last few weeks, had a lot of guys in mind, probably has lined them up. So I think Wednesday, Thursday, we should hear
I think so. I think the quicker the better. I think, like you said, T.D. Wood's name has been mentioned. Kippy Brown's name has been mentioned. I don't know how realistic that is being in the NFL, but you never know.
It's hard to go back.
Yeah, there's another guy. I can't remember the guy's name. It's currently on the Notre Dame staff that apparently his name had been thrown out there. So,
right.
I don't know. And offensive line, I'm not so sure that Adkins doesn't end up being your offensive line coach.
Right. Well, as usual, we're going to go off with the quick hits. We kind of hit a few of them. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the football game, the thrashing of Kentucky. Obviously, look ahead to the bowl game. And then, Hizzy's not paying attention to me.
I'm here. What are you talking about?
Said we were going to a bowl game.
We're going to a bowl game?
Yeah.
Are we?
No. That was a joke.
Anyway. I heard you. I just didn't think it was funny.
Yeah, okay. I need to get the cricket sound ready.
I wish we were going to a bowl game, man. That's a sore subject with me. I'm still upset that we're not going to a bowl game.
17 years or 16 years? You know, I was thinking back over the season, we played, out of our 11 games, we played teams that had five teams with first-year head coaches. You had Les Miles, LSU, Orgeron, Ole Miss. We had Florida, Urban Meyer, and you had Notre Dame and Steve Spurrier, and he went 2-3, beating Orgeron and Miles. Not great success.
Well, Orgeron, yeah. I'd say he's the bottom of that list, probably.
Yeah, let's throw him out.
I think they're wishing right now they had Cutcliffe back.
Yeah, that guy's a freaking nut.
Yeah, if Cutcliffe turns this whole thing around, we can send a big nice thank you note to Ole Miss.
I tell you one thing that I'm concerned about with the Cutcliffe hiring is that he has said multiple times during this season and when he was let go with Ole Miss that he wants that head coaching position. So I wouldn't be surprised if you hear, well, at least I'm hoping that we hear, that he has signed a multi-year contract. Because
2 year.
So it's just a 2 year contract.
That's what I heard today.
2 year contract. And is 2 years enough to turn an offense around?
You would hope. You know, I think you're going to be in that. I think it is enough time. I think a lot of it can be done. I mean, you've seen with some of these first-year head coaches, it can be done in 1 year. I think the thing you've got to look at
Charlie
is
Weiss.
That. Exactly. Well, Spurrier.
Yeah.
You know.
Meyer.
He has had a Wait better a year. Well, they've had a better year. But I think that.
How much are you glad that Chris Leak is not here? You guys horrible.
Yeah, he is horrible.
I mean, they beat Florida State, but Florida State's dropped off too. So
yeah, anyway. They're bad. The thing is, though, my point was, and we've talked about this on Vol Nation a little bit. I think any guy that you bring in as offensive coordinator at Tennessee that turns this pathetic offense around is going to be the target of head coaching searches in a year or two. So I don't think it matters whether it's Cutcliffe, whether it's some other big name, high profile guy. You know, after a year or two at a school like Tennessee, if you turn this program around and do a great job, you're going to get looks from other schools and probably get an opportunity to be a head coach.
Right.
So,
well, here's another quick hit. Vol Nation has finally made the big time. Finally made the big time as of 41 minutes ago. Tell us all about it there, Hizzy.
Well, I just happened to see the post on here. It looks like a poster by the name of Checkerboard Charlie apparently plugged Vol Nation tonight on
nice avatar, Charlie.
Apparently on Vol Call. So we were reading the thread here a minute ago, but apparently he gave a plug to VolNation.com. So
hey, listen, if you guys are calling into those shows, feel free to plug us anytime. I mean, that would be great. Of course, someone had mentioned on that same thread that they happened to throw VolQuest in on the back, maybe so they get same billing.
Of course. So that was pretty interesting by Checkerboard Charlie. So I heard they apparently the posters on Vol Nation said he sounded quite intelligent on the
That's so odd.
On Vol calls.
Would never have figured that. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, Charlie.
No, good job, man.
Yeah, thanks a bunch.
Yeah, it's everything good for the board is good for us. So nice job.
How about a next point? Junior's considering going pro. We have several juniors on, especially in the defense, Justin Harrell, Aaron Sears, and Rob Smith.
Yeah, those are especially on defense.
Yeah, well, one on defense. Anyway, two linemen. And, of course, I like the approach that Chavis and Fulmer make. I mean, they are, and I think one of the recruiting tools for Tennessee is this is a pathway to the NFL. Maybe that hurts us a little bit.
Well, it does. I mean, you have to use that in recruiting as far as because we don't have the in-state talent to, be able to recruit kids who live around here who have grown up watching Tennessee. So they have to use that as a recruiting tool.
Well, Harrell had a great game on Saturday.
Yeah, Harrell worries me a little bit because the thing that concerns me, we do have some talent behind him, but he is, you know, he's all by himself.
Yeah.
You know, he's the six guys around him in the line, and the linebackers are all going to be gone.
Yep.
So, you know, he's got to consider himself the best player coming back, probably going to be the focus of a lot of double teams early on especially. So it's concerning. I'm sure he's going to test the waters and see what he can find out. But
well, you know, I don't know how good Aaron Sears would make it in the NFL considering they like to not have, you know, false start penalties every other down. So and Rob Smith, I mean, really, has he done enough?
Yeah, Rob Smith's a great player. I mean, he's going to be in the NFL
great
one
player.
Day. He is a great player. Rob
great
Smith
player.
Is a great
you
player.
Are such a
he is
schlep.
The best player on that line. I'm not touting all of my – I mean, picking out an individual player, Rob Smith encompasses more about Tennessee football than anybody else on that team, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, at the end of their careers, of course, all of them have the knee braces that you and I could fit our entire body in. You know, maybe a lot of their decision is based upon injury. You know, are they going to go in there, get into the NFL, make their quick buck, just so they can be in there, and then they drop into, you know, nowhere. You never hear from them again.
Well, and it could be, and I know it's going to be. Obviously, the thing with Rob Smith is he just lost his position coach today, in Jimmy Ray Stevens. So I'm sure, from what I heard, he wasn't real happy about that. And
right,
you know, I'm sure he's going to have to evaluate who's going to be his next coach, and if he thinks that's a positive move. So. You know, both of those guys, it's definitely concerning if they may be back or may not be back.
Yeah. Coming up, Foster Scuttlebutt is that he may miss spring practice because of a soldier because of the shoulder injury that he's had. Of course, we really haven't heard a whole lot about that. He really hadn't seemed like he's limping around too much.
No, but he's, you know, you notice at the end of that game, he was getting up pretty slow there for a while. He kind of looked like he was either really tired or a little bit banged up.
Well, I can't imagine why. They ran him 40 rushing plays against Vandy, and he had, what, 7 touches catching the ball. So, you know, hopefully we haven't done him a disservice by playing him too much.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't read enough to know exactly when that happened, when that took place, but you got to give props to the guy. You know, SEC Freshman of the Week.
879 yards in 5 games.
Yeah, 5 straight 100-yard games. I mean, you know, and that 879 puts him at number 5 on the all-time freshman list at Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that was only for part of the season. You know, imagine what
right.
he could have done if he was the guy from day one.
Yeah, Riggs is, I mean, he's dust in the wind, right?
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, I don't want to knock on Riggs. I mean, you know,
I will.
He might have, you know, gotten it together and done better. He seemed to be running hard. I'm just not sure Riggs. I question Riggs' vision a little bit. I think he runs hard. I think he's got decent speed. I never think he was able to see the holes very well.
Yeah, his whole career though was nothing. Well, I mean, other than a 1,000-yard rushing season in an offense where all we did was really rush. I don't know. I just don't. That's all, you know, we need to look forward to the future. And I think Foster, hopefully coming back, he gets healthy. I think he also has to do some stuff on one of his knees. You know, that's something that
well, that's
we can
the,
look forward to.
One of the positives on this team is running back. You've got Foster coming back. You've got Hardesty and Coker. You know, we haven't quite seen what those two can do yet, but both young backs. So we'll see what.
Okay. Well, here's some positive stuff. Okay, Vols basketball team, 3-0.
3-0. We are 3-0. Had a little bit of a scare this week, and really the first time we've been, I guess, in the three games was the game against Louisiana Lafayette. It blew mm-hmm. a 21-point lead in that game. It's a little nervous. I think we saw a little bit of Buzz Peterson coming back to haunt us a little bit in that stretch. But
well, I look at this, and we're going to go a little bit more in depth and do some comparisons of what Pearl has done compared to Peterson early on in their career here at UT. You know, analyzing the first three games with them. We're also going to talk about the game. Wingate had a huge game, but the fact that we're 3-0, yeah, we've played a couple of you know, not high level. We've got a couple coming up, Texas and Oklahoma State. Both of those on the road. You know, I think Texas is going to be a serious long shot to be. I'd like to be competitive in that game.
Well, that's all you can hope for in that game. Texas is an experienced, good team. Obviously, ranked what, second in the nation right now, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
So that's definitely going to be you hope we can just make a decent showing for ourselves and not get embarrassed by 40.
Right. Oklahoma State was depleted a little bit by their seniors leaving. Of course, you certainly have a good coach there, good system. You know that there's going to play some defense. I think we might have a pretty good shot. If you can say anything about this team, they prepare themselves for the type of team that they're getting ready to play.
Well, I think it's a lot different. You're going to see, you know, this team's got to learn how to play on the road and whether or not they can play on the road. Can they keep it together? Will they get rattled? You know, how are they going to do? We found that out this week on Wednesday when they traveled to Nashville to take on Murray State. So we'll get a glimpse of, you know, how they're going to play on the road. But it's a different ball game playing on the road against a good opponent. So
yes, it is.
I think either one of those games, even Oklahoma State, I don't believe they're ranked at this point, but it's still going to be a very tough game.
Right. Well, that's it for the quick hits. You know, we did say that we wanted to get you guys involved, and when we come up here in the next segment, we are going to go back to some of the threads. We started a thread about things you can do without, and that's something that we're going to hit here in just a little bit. So when we come back from break, we'll be talking about it. This is Larkin and Jay Hizzy with Get Involved.
We'll be back. That brings me to a question, Mr. Larkin.
Tell me.
When did the woo come in? I know we're going to get to that in our things you can do without. But,
yeah, I noticed someone on the thread said, where did the woo come, or didn't like the woo. And I'm kind of a purist myself. I never really liked it, but I do find myself doing it.
Where did the woo come from? You know, it's kind of like one of those things, it's not been around forever, but at some point, we incorporated the woo.
It had to have been a female.
I don't know. It might have been. Hey, I've got a little bit of trivia for you.
Trivia. I love trivia.
Trivia question. I was going to bring this up. I happened to stumble across it today.
Okay.
Can you tell me the running back for Tennessee? 1990 is the year. The game is Pacific.
Pacific. Pacific. They have a football team.
It's either Pacific or Specific. I'm not sure. The game was Pacific. And I'm pretty sure that was the game that Chuck Webb blew out his knee.
Okay.
A running back rushed for over 100 yards in that game.
Okay.
Do you know who it is? I don't even remember this guy. It was Tavio Henson.
I remember the name.
Rushed for like 115 yards in that game. I do not remember him. I don't see his name anywhere else in the record books except for that game.
Well, that was probably the only game he played in, right?
It might have been. I don't know. So for any of you listeners out there, want to post on the board anything you remember about that, you can.
Yeah, and if anybody knows when the woo started, you can also let us know that. Cause,
anybody had any concrete evidence on that?
Useless trivia by Jay Hizzy. Thank you.
That may be a something that I'll bring onto the show every week. Useless Tennessee trivia.
Useless trivia and how to speak correctly. All right. Like we said, we started the Get Involved thread for show 3, and this was things that you could do without, of course. Related to Tennessee sports, we got a lot of something about someone did we could do without big fat hairy women. You know,
yeah, I don't know exactly. I think it was big fat hair, and then it came to big fat hairy women, and
all right, well,
we got into a whole big thing about that. So
what we're going to do is we're going to go back through that thread and kind of pick out some of the ones. JMX Vol, he started out with a kiss cam, which I think was one of the more popular ones, and he said that horrible Faith Hill song, of course, sometimes they forget to play it until the very end, and then they let it go on to while the game is going on. I wonder, do they do the kiss cam at the Lady Vols games?
I don't know, but I think some people come to the basketball game solely for the kiss cam.
Yeah, everybody says they hate it.
But you really like it out there.
Everybody's glued to the
screen.
All
you guys are saying you don't like it. You're like taking some girl there. You take a date to the basketball game just so you hope you can get a little smooch.
That's right. You just hope you're not sitting next to your sister, right?
Yes, that was Orange White Blood, I believe, that was on his list.
I bleed orange 24/7. He says the OC, and he's always seated behind me and doesn't know the players' names or jersey numbers, but he insists he's calling the plays. I think we've all sat behind or in front of.
I think that's you.
Is it me?
I think it is. Let's find out where what section I bleed orange sits in, because I think that might be you.
It might be. What are you saying there, Hizzy?
Next.
Yes. Matt Vols, Kiss Cam. I think the Kiss Cam. JMX Vol, he had a couple of good ones. Well, he said the Kiss Cam again. Wait a minute. We got to quit giving him props. No, I'm just kidding, JMX.
Yeah, the Kiss Cam seemed to be very popular.
Swami 2302, the homers on sports talk radio kissing Fulmer's butt. Hey, I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Well, Vol calls in general is the worst about that.
Yeah, but you know what? If you're not kissing Fulmer's butt, the people that monitor that show are going to cut you off in mid-sentence, or you're not, or you get the crickets.
Yeah, I still can't believe I missed it tonight and didn't get to hear Checkerboard Charlie plug Vol Nation.
Yeah, what Swami trolls on Vol Nation? What's a troll?
A troll is someone who posts on message boards just trying to stir up trouble. Their sole purpose on posting is just trying to stir up controversy and trouble. And
AKA any Bama fan?
Exactly.
All right, got it.
Exactly.
Tidwell, of course, Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz's voice. I don't know if anybody...
You told me you weren't going to do that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do it anyway.
I tried to talk him out of it, but...
I thought that Beano Cook, with the flap of skin hanging off of his neck, you remember that guy for ESPN? I thought he was the worst. Lou Holtz is so bad that it defies logic. Nothing.
I need to get a chirp on my computer over here.
Yes, you did.
Thank you.
All right. Kiss Cam. Boy, I tell you what, that got a lot. Can you pick one out there?
I still like the... of course, we could bring up the ESPN bias, but that's a topic. We could do a whole show on that.
You know, ESPN bias, I mean, we've always had that. I don't think there is one. I think we're just so critical of our own program. It just happens to be.
How about people who pay $38 for a ticket and then leave at halftime?
I don't know who would possibly do that.
I don't know either. I've heard a lot of people do that because they, you know, their buzz starts wearing off and they, you know, start getting a headache and feeling bad, so they have to go to the car.
Right.
We could be like Florida used to be, and they would, you know, you could leave and come back in.
Going back to the Lou Holtz, Granny Clampett's. Remember Granny Clampett?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's Lou Holtz. Commentaries about what coaches should do to straighten out their programs. Yeah, there's the expert on how to straighten out a program is Lou Holtz.
You know, I still like, I guess it was Lex Vol here from our notes that he got a little bit off topic, but, you know, he brought up some things. 10 hot dogs and 8 buns. Andy Griffith shows with Warren, which I'll have to agree is things I could live without. Any Andy Griffith show in color, I could live without.
Yeah, one of the good posters on the board, Kitty Doc, his things that he could do about the fumbling into the end zone rule and fumbling into the end zone. Yeah, so I guess it doesn't really bother you that much if you haven't done it.
What's up with that rule anyway? I mean, it's terrible. There's got to be a better way to handle that.
That's a penalty.
It's not fair. Yeah, we should get, you know, the offensive team should get the ball on the 10-yard line or something. I mean, possession hasn't changed. It's not fair to give up the ball. I mean, something you fumbled out of the end zone. I mean, you shouldn't give up possession when the defense didn't possess the ball.
Correct. I don't think it should be that, but, you know, I don't know.
Who do we need to write about that? Do we need to write our congressman?
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe if we can get a petition on Vol Nation, we could single-handedly change that rule.
Orange TD88, the profits commercials that make your ears bleed during timeouts. I've constantly said that Tennessee is over-advertised, and the profits commercials are a good example of that.
How about Orange White Blood brings up one about a couple in front of him who brings their 3 children, all under five years old, at the football games. The kids constantly elbowed my knees and shook the shaker in my face. On top of holding their ears and looking back at me like I killed their puppy when I clapped or yelled. You know, I've had that happen to me this year. I had a kid sitting behind me at a game, and he pounded. I mean, not just kicked, but pounded the benches the whole game, hard as he could.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I gave him the look and everything. You know, you've got that look.
The look?
You've got that look. I mean, I gave him the look like 5 or 10 times. I'm like, you know, what is it going to take?
Georgia Vol was the one that brought up the woo in Rocky Top. And, of course, Dog Nation posted on there. We're not going to do anything with him since he's a Georgia fan. Just kidding. All right. Well, that's
some good things.
Yes.
I think that that
good
was
post.
A lot of interest in that post. So glad
keep,
to see that.
Keep that going. We had some good commentary on that, and we will try to come up with a good one next week.
How about unspecial teams that we've had for years?
Our special teams
that
were the
worst.
That was a good one. We either hold, fumble, I mean, Lucas Taylor, is that the best we've got? And the guy can't keep, you know, can't hold the ball on, and he's about as big around as my pinky finger.
Yeah, did you notice, and they didn't make a big deal of it on TV, did you notice that he took a snap at quarterback?
Yes, I did. Ran straight up the
middle. They didn't bring that up. I had to rewind it and double check.
Right out of the Brent Schaefer playbook, or the what was the kid that we had so many problems with? Juicy Locke, Eric Locke.
Yes,
yeah, right out of the Eric Locke playbook.
We put in the Eric Locke package. I think it's still named that.
The Eric Locke package.
Well, it's funny because we had just had a conversation. I saw a couple of posters on Vol Nation. I just had a conversation about whether there was or was not a Lucas Taylor package.
I think there is.
Well, we saw part of it. I don't know if you can call one play a package, but...
Well, certainly the end around hasn't been very productive for him this year.
Not with him running it. No, it has not been. That's been one play I could do without. It's yeah. All, you know, plays like that are great, but they're all about timing. And our timing on when we run that play has just been horrendous. Either that or we're tipping it off by, you know, the only time he's in the game is when we're running that play because...
I think...
Was it the Alabama game? That they just smelled it out.
I think
no chance.
I think the tip-off, Clawson's picking his nose before he snaps the ball.
I don't know, something.
All right. Well, Hizzy, you brought up a pretty interesting little tidbit. We're gonna move into the football game on Saturday. Hizzy brought up a pretty interesting article by Mike Griffith. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, it really just was an article that you know, was talking about Coach Stevens losing his job, and it was a couple of interesting points in that article that really stood out to me. Number one was Stevens said that Fulmer had always told him he was doing a good job, and you know, that getting fired, I guess, kind of caught him by surprise, which seems to be a problem right there. I mean, you would think that Fulmer and Stevens would have had talks by now. I mean, typically you don't just go in and fire somebody. Typically you've had conversations. Hey, your position that you're responsible for is underperforming. What do we need to do? How can I help? What's going on?
Well, you've had plenty of opportunities to do that with this year.
Yeah, I don't understand why, you know, he's only gotten praise from Coach Fulmer, if in fact that's true, and it's not been discussed that, you know.
Well, some would say that last year with 2,000 yard rushers may have been his best year.
Well, it may have been. It's kind of interesting. You know, I've never been a big Stevens fan, but if you look at the stats, I mean, he's definitely had improved. You know, up until this year, last year had 2,000-yard rushers. I think our average per carry was up in above 4.5 yards a carry, which was...
Well, over the last few years, it hasn't been that great.
No, but it had gone up under, you know, in the last couple of years under Stevens, so I'm not sure about that. But really, the other thing of this article that really, you know...
Was Stevens the one that said that this could have been the best offensive line ever for UT, or was that...
I don't know who said that.
Or was that Fulmer?
I think that was...
Fulmer?
We hear that every year.
They can't do.
I also noticed the PhilFulmer.com website hadn't been updated lately. Wonder why.
I don't know. I wonder. But the quote I wanted to bring up was from Stevens, quote, apparently some big-time donor had written in his opinion of some changes that needed to be made, and mine and Pat's name were on that. But I thought it wouldn't happen because Coach Fulmer had nothing but praise for me in the past, so... Makes you wonder who the donor is.
Oops.
If anybody, you know, if anybody has that information, would like to pass it along to the radio show, we'll be happy to bring that up on the show.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of boosters out there that were clamoring for a lot of changes, and you know, it's unfortunate. But if you look over the past few years, our offense has stunk it up, and someone's got to pay. And obviously, it's not going to be Fulmer. He brought us a national championship. You know, you're not going to get rid of him. I would say that if he has a bad season next year, I mean, his Fulmer is untouchable unless he has a couple of years like this year.
Yeah, he was. It's amazing. He was untouchable coming into the season, but when you have a 5-6 year and miss out on the bowl game.
I tell you what I'm sick of is hearing about him being the winningest head coach in the NCAA. I mean, how many times can you use that?
As many as it takes.
I guess so.
Take your Bama hat off and put your Tennessee hat back on, and let's get back to the show.
You'll never see a Bama hat on my head.
Some of the stuff you say, man, I have to wonder. I'm telling you.
I'm a realist.
I think you're a Bama fan in Tennessee clothing.
Don't make me get sick.
No offense to Bama fans out there.
No offense to Bama fans. I can't stand them. Anyway, let's go back to the Kentucky game. All right, great. We won 27-8. Net yards passing 221 for Ainge in the first half. Goodness. I mean, he looked like the Eric Ainge of old. In fact, he should have had in the first half, he should have had about 250 yards, except for Brett Smith holding on that one play.
Yep.
And, of course, Brett Smith also had another holding penalty that negated a 56-yard run by Foster.
So yeah, that was about 150 yards probably on those two plays that were called back.
At least. And so, you know, I thought Ainge did okay, but, you know, in the second half he only had 40 yards net passing. The guy, I tell you what, I've been an Ainge follower. I've always thought he had that intangible. I think the guy moves better in the pocket than anybody we've had over the last few years, and I would even say Peyton Manning. The guy knows how to duck around a rushing lineman. He did it several times against Kentucky, and I realize Kentucky doesn't have a great, you know, defensive team, but he's got a guy 320 yards barreling down on him. He makes one step to the side, and the lineman's 5 yards behind him.
I agree, and that was one of the things last year that was impressive about Ainge was his ability to sidestep and, you know, deceptively quick. But, you know, he's careless with the football, Larkin, and I think that
that's
just something you can't tolerate.
Intentional grounding penalties are just – it makes me want to scream.
The intentional grounding and the fumble, you know, that he had where he gets hit trying to throw the – I just – he's not – he's careless with the football.
Yes.
And I don't know I can't imagine that being something that Fulmer or Cutcliffe, for that matter, is going to tolerate next year. I think that if he doesn't learn to be a little bit more careful with the football, he's going to find himself on the bench.
Bright spots, what do you think? Foster, of course.
Foster.
We talked a little bit about him earlier. Don't want to, you know, bury that in the ground, but 800.
Well, it's one of the only few positives we've got to talk about. Is Foster. One of my positives of the game, which I thought was incredible, we talked about earlier, my play of the game was Demetrius Morley's interception.
Yeah, that was nice.
I mean, he didn't even see that ball until the last second. He was able to just reach out and snag it, which was great.
D. Morley's going to be the guy like Dwayne Goodrich, you know, comes out, starts a lot his freshman year, gets better as it goes. I think he's going to have some big plays for us in the future, no doubt.
We hope. I think he definitely hopefully gets some more playing time next year. So we've seen flashes this year of what he can do.
Going back over the season, I think we have done a disservice to Josh Briscoe. Why did we burn a year for him? Why leave him in? I mean, total this year, I don't know how many passes he caught. It can't be a whole lot. He only had one pass, one catch in the Kentucky game. I think we burned a year out of him where – Maybe that was recruiting, right? Hey, well, you're going to get to play. But then again, he didn't really play. So,
well, he did, and that was one of those things that we asked in the spring. Was, you know, he had on a green shirt, if you remember, in the orange and white game. We weren't
sure
you know,
what does this mean?
Well, yeah, what was going on? Because, you know, we thought we were 5 or 6 deep at receiver, and you got a kid, you know, freshman coming in and wearing a green jersey and going to get playing time, and Fulmer talking about how we need a deep threat. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think we burned a year out of him. That just a waste of a decent receiver because he's a big receiver. He looks good out there. Any other points? I mean, you know, even in our lowest season, we still beat Kentucky. So, for all you Kentucky fans, and my wife is a Kentucky fan,
we
so
did, and thank goodness we've still got a streak going against somebody. Right. You know, I mean, we've got what 21 now against Kentucky?
That's right. 21. The Vandy one's over. The South Carolina one's over.
I mean, if we'd have lost both of those streaks, I'm not sure I could have gotten out of bed the next day. That would have been just too much. I mean, to have Vandy fans and Kentucky fans talking smack in the same year would have just been
right, especially during basketball season.
I mean, the world might have imploded if that would have happened. That's always been
our calling cry. You know, if we beat them in football, we can always say, hey, just wait till football. And then basketball fans are always like, hey, just wait till basketball season.
And I think they thought they had a legitimate shot to beat us in that game.
I think they thought they did.
I think Kentucky thought they had a legitimate shot to beat us.
That lasted about as long as the first series.
I think they had already had T-shirts printed and everything.
Right. Yeah, I think they're pretty bad.
They are. But, you know, I don't even know what to say about the game. I watched the game, but I think I was just kind of in a stupor for the most part.
Me too.
You know, hard to get really excited, hard to even, you know, pay a whole lot of attention. I know Hefney fumbled. We talked about that a little bit. We still seem to be having problems with our return game.
Yes, our return game, special teams in general, just stinks. And, you know, I think that's, you know, we don't want to drone on about the football season. I think maybe what we ought to do is – you know, look into getting into basketball season because there is no more. There's no more. So I tell you what, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to get back into talking about the basketball game and some interesting tidbits about Pearl.
And we're going to incorporate some more board stuff into it. So.
Yes, we are. And so let's go back and get a little bit more fired up with Little Rocky Top.
You are gay.
Izzy didn't laugh at that one. We're back. Larkin.
Coming at you.
Jay Hizzy.
In the his house.
Get involved. This is going to be a good section.
Did you see the poll about naming the student section at the basketball games? Have you seen that?
No, I did not.
It's pretty interesting. They got like 8 choices right now, and they're voting every week. I think...
What are a couple?
The Rocky Top Rowdies.
Ugh.
Fort Knox.
Fort Knox? Stupid.
I can tell you don't like those. There were a couple of other ones.
Whoa.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty interesting.
The music's getting a little crazy there.
We're getting wild and crazy. Need a sound clip from a couple of wild and crazy guys.
All right.
Get some old Saturday Night Live clips on the show.
I think I might do that.
That might be kind of fun.
I think I might do that. I need more cowbell. I got a fever. Somebody's got an avatar with Will Ferrell doing the...
Yes. That's a good one.
I got a fever, and the only cure is more cowbell.
Can we edit out this part of the show?
No.
Okay.
All right, let's go. Basketball. I love it. I am fired up.
Fired up. We're 3-0.
We're 3-0, and we beat Eastern Kentucky like a freaking drum, and I love it.
Buddy, we...
Player of the game. Wingate.
Player of the game was Wingate.
18 points.
Well, he was the player of the game in the most recent game. There have been 2 games since our last show. Patterson was one player of the game, and Wingate was the other.
Excuse me.
Oh, you were talking about Eastern Kentucky. I'm sorry.
Well, we can talk about both of those games. In fact, you've got the stats for the Lafayette game.
Well, there's a couple things I was just going to point out. I mean, Lafayette was a pretty decent team.
Yep.
The South Hall kid is an NBA prospect center.
He did nothing.
Didn't do a whole lot. I don't know if we just shut him down or the kid just doesn't want to work hard or what. But the rumor on this kid was he was a big-time prospect.
Well, one of the things I thought was really interesting about that is in the post-game show, Pearl mentioned that C.J. Watson scouted that team, and he knew that if he did a couple of drives, I don't know if it was taking the guy left or right, that he had a tendency to foul. And he got 2 quick fouls at the very beginning of the game, and that took that guy totally out of the game.
Yeah, he was pretty much a non-factor. But I'll tell you what.
You ever hear Peterson talking about a scouting report?
No.
No, never.
Never did.
Constantly coaching. That's why I love
Pearl. Is constantly coaching. I mean, we're both impressed with him. But I think you're going to hear a lot. That Dwayne Mitchell kid for Louisiana Lafayette was unbelievable.
19 points, 20 rebounds.
I mean, he just in the second half just lit it up. And obviously we blew a 21-point lead in that game, and actually we're down 1 with about 5 minutes to go, but held on. I think that our teams in the past may have collapsed at that, but Eastern Kentucky was the second game we played this week, and they have played some pretty tough competition. Now we drilled them pretty good, and they took Wisconsin a double overtime and only lost to Georgia by 8. So
Georgia's not that good, but it was still at Georgia. So
Georgia's terrible. What's up with that? Their coach, everybody, he's getting the Wade Houston love. Everybody's saying what a great coach he is, what a nice guy, how he'll turn it around. But
last year
we're not seeing it.
Last year I he's going to get a bye last year because he had 7 scholarship players
probably.
Of course, the Samurai Warrior and all those guys down there at Georgia had pretty much ruined that program. This guy comes in, but no, they're not that great.
You got to wonder about him if he's getting the job done.
Huh? Who cares? I hope he continues to suffer.
Who does care? Interesting stat, though. Through 3 games, who do you think our leading field goal percentage shooter is?
Belbid Bro.
No. Well, technically, it's Ben Bossy. He's 1-for-1.
Yes.
But I'm throwing out anybody with less than 10 attempts, I'm not going to count.
I saw that shot. I saw that.
It was a layup.
It was a layup. Yes, it was. It was.
And notice he got his hair cut.
Yes,
Duke
he did.
Came out with a 70s feathered chips look, breezing down through there, and he got his head buzzed. He looks a lot cooler now,
Yeah, I think he jumped on the chips motorcycle on the way home.
I think he knew that was – I think he's – he was starting to think about TV games, and, if he was going to get some playing time, he was going to have to get that haircut.
Well, for the Eastern Kentucky game, one of the things was
– I didn't get to finish my trivia answer.
Oh, sorry.
You got me off track with Ben Bossy.
Go ahead.
You know, he doesn't even have a player profile. When you click on the links on the website, you know,
all
the players
picture.
Have links. You know, there is no link. There's no way to click on his name. You can't find out anything about the kid, you know.
Was he a
McDonald's All-American or what, you know?
No.
Who all recruited him?
All right, field goal percentage. Don't leave us hanging.
Field goal percentage, surprisingly enough, as of November the 25th, Stanley Asumnu, 16-24 from the field. 66.7%.
Got to get some confidence.
Pretty impressive. Although we've seen some couple flashes of him being a little bit turnover prone. I know him and Pearl got into it at one of the games a little bit, so I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, if he's hit his usual third game wall or...
Well, he's not. He's taking a totally different shot than he was. In fact, I remember at the game you told me that that Peterson actually had changed his shot.
I read that Peterson had changed. He did an interview. He did an article in Rocky Top News, I think it was, not to plug other magazines, but they said that Peterson had tried to, you know, change his shot, and you know, he was using that as an excuse. But anyway,
yeah. Going to the EKU game, 92-58. Now, I think one pretty interesting point about that game is that they run the Princeton offense. You know, Princeton will make it into the NCAA tourney, and everybody likes watching them play because of the backdoor cuts. Against Tennessee, they had one backdoor cut.
Good point.
That was successful. In fact, they didn't even let them execute it.
And that was with the mop-ups in the game.
Yes, it was.
It was late.
Yes, it was. It was late, second half. And, of course, the player of that game was Wingate, 18 points. I thought Wingate played okay, but, you know, I think the 18 points is less important than the fact he was 6 of 6 from the free throw line. If he can start nailing those three-pointers where you know – no, nail those free throws.
Let me pick myself up off the floor.
Wait a minute. He did take a three-pointer, right?
He might have.
Yeah, so if he can make free throws, that makes him a little bit more it makes it a strong point for him because you know that he can move. He's not too big where he can't move around the basket. So if you start fouling him, he makes those free throws, especially in a tight game at the end of the game. That's very important. I hope he can do that. He's got a real high arc on that shot too.
The thing, he looked good. You know, he looked so much better on his foul shots. I'm sure Pearl was working with him this week. He looked like a different player from the foul line.
Wasn't he hurt?
He was supposedly hurt. I guess he's okay.
Supposedly.
The thing about Wingate that concerns me the most is that his rebounding per game. Currently, he's fifth on the team in rebounds at 3.3 a game.
Yes.
You know, and that's not getting it done. When you're as big as Wingate is and you're playing inside and playing as many minutes as he is per game, 3.3 rebounds is not getting it done.
I think Dane Bradshaw has impressed me with the rebounds.
And leads the team.
He puts himself in position.
He leads the team with 8.3 a game. Lofton's got 4.3. Patterson's got 4.3. Jawan Smith is averaging 3.7.
How does Lofton get that many rebounds?
You look at it. You got three little guys. I mean, you got Bradshaw, Lofton, and Smith in the top five on this team in rebounds.
All right, well, that was the player of the game, Major Wingate. I'm going to say that Chris Lofton was my player of the game, and here's why. Number one, he didn't have a good start to that Eastern Kentucky game, but in the second half, he lit it up. He took the game from kind of being a blowout to just a huge lead and a huge blowout. But his defense...
He's quicker this year.
Totally, he's quicker. He's getting in lanes. He has understood that press more than I think anybody else on the team, and he knows where that ball is. He had, I don't know how many steals he ended up having. Of course, that would be preparation of me looking for steals, but Watson also had four.
He's averaging three a game. He's got nine steals in three games.
That's pretty sharp.
It is. I think the biggest thing, and we touched on this last week with Loft, is that he's getting his shots as part of the offense. They're not looking to him to, you know, take over games. It's not one of those situations where everybody's standing around trying to figure out how to score, and Lofton's having to shoot three-pointers from half court. He still launches the occasional three-pointer from half court.
Right. But he brought up another point to me during that game. In the Peterson era, and you can even go back to a couple of eras where if we happened to win, of course, in the Peterson era, we didn't have a whole lot of wins that were, you know, just absolute blowouts.
You said you weren't going to say his name again on the show.
I'm going to keep saying it because I'm so disgusted with him. And we're going to talk about him here in just a little bit as well. I love beating a guy when he's down. But he is making $1 million this year from us. So when the scrubs come in.
He's not making $1 million anymore, is he? I don't think his buyout was $1 million a year, was it?
This year,
we have to research.
But no, that. It was a lump sum.
Oh,
it sure was. You threw me off my
I'm
train
sorry.
Thought.
Point I brought up at the game.
Yeah, point brought up at the game was when our scrubs came in after the game was well out of hand. Our scrubs actually looked like they knew what they were doing.
They did. It was amazing. They weren't dribbling off their feet. I mean, they actually, I've never heard of half those guys. We had five walk-ons, I think, in the game at one point.
Two words, Jonah Cox.
Yeah. I've never heard of these guys. We had some guy named Cox and some guy named Thompson or something, and now, Ben Bussey, Eddie DeBrow.
If I remember correctly, didn't Boob Kessling call Jordan Howe Justin Howe?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. It is Jordan Howe officially there, Boob.
Justin Jackson.
Okay, we've gone over the stats. Any other thing you want to point out?
No, I mean, I think that about covers it. I think, like I mentioned a minute ago, we're going to find out a lot about this team on Wednesday when we go play Murray State. You know, another solid mid-major team away from home.
And I wanted to make a point. I noticed, you know, I've kind of thrown JMX Vol's name out there a few times. He's actually going to be at the game on Wednesday.
Are you guys posting buddies?
Yes. No.
Are y'all sending each other private messages and stuff?
He has sent me a couple of private messages.
I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, okay.
Just kidding, JMX, man.
Right. He's going to be our field reporter, so he's going to be at the game. He's going to send me an email with interesting things, of course, and, you know, none of the stats or anything. We want to get a fan's perspective of the game. And in fact, any of those away games, you know, let us know, because we'd like to see if you're going to be there in a Georgia Vol. I don't know if you go to any of the games down there in Athens or not, but any of you guys that go to those games, we'd love to get your insight. We'll give you your props and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, and somebody's going to have to knock off Checkerboard Charlie as the member of the week this week for that ballsy plug for Vol Nation. So it's on now. All the posters are going to try to see who can get the most props on the show and knock Checkerboard Charlie off his pedestal.
Hizzy, we did a couple of we did some research, and we wanted to look over the past three games. Now, here's the thing. I don't want to get too fired up about Pearl, even though I've been sounding like it. I'm being kind of a little too sheepy.
I brought up about Buzz Peterson.
Yes.
If you recall, we were several games into the Buzz Peterson era when people were freaked out, panicked that North Carolina was going to hire him away from us.
I remember that.
You know, Doherty was struggling, and everybody's like, oh, they're going to hire him. They're going to hire Buzz. So,
okay, let's look at the first three games under Peterson.
Okay.
And the first three games under Pearl. Okay. Now, the first three games, number one, and I hate to bring this up because it really doesn't count, but we did lose to Kentucky ABA in the preseason, which was his first coached game. All right. Now, I'm not going to give you the score or anything.
I must have slept through that game because I don't remember it.
We didn't win that game, and that was in our house. First game for...
That was his first game as a coach?
That was his first game as a
coach.
And
that was with Ron Slay, Yarbrough, Hayslip.
Keep going.
Higgins.
Yep.
Who am I missing?
Crump. Crump did start as a freshman. He was the only center we had.
He got worse.
Yes, he did. All right, first official game we won against Tennessee Tech, 72-63. The next one, we were at that Alaska tournament. The Alaska shootout. We lost to Marquette 85-74.
You got to remember, this is a team coming off 420s and four tournament appearances. So we had a little momentum.
A little bit of momentum.
Momentum.
Okay. All right. Now, the next game was Alaska Anchorage. And we won that one, but that doesn't count either because they're a Division II team, and so that didn't count in our official stats, so I'm going to throw that one out. So our third game was we lost to St. John's 69-55.
All right. St. John's?
St. John's, 69-55. Isn't that the one that has the hawk?
Was that St. Joe's?
Yeah, that's St. Joe's. It was St. John's.
Okay.
It was St. John's. So he started out 1-2, all right? First three games under Pearl, and we're going to talk about this. In fact, we're going to segue into a couple of things that Hizzy's going to point out. Beat ETSU, Louisiana Lafayette, and Eastern Kentucky. Now, so if you look on the notes, we've got we wanted to look at their records from last year.
Okay. Yeah, ETSU, you know, a misleading 10-19 last year.
7 points away from going to their third straight NCAA tournament.
Yes.
They lost in their conference tournament, but they lost a couple of guys, but they did go two straight years. In fact, they made a little bit of noise a couple of years ago.
They almost beat Cincinnati?
Yep.
Two it was.
That is true. Of course, Cincinnati always kind of flubs in the tournament. And then you had Louisiana Lafayette. What was their record last year?
Their record was 20-11, did make it to the tournament. And played Louisville, I believe it was.
Yeah, they only lost by about 8 points, if I remember correctly. And then Eastern Kentucky, last year, what'd they go?
22-9.
Right, 22-9. Now they lost a couple of key players from last year, but I would bet that this is a team that's gonna win their conference.
I bet with the Southall kid and the Mitchell kid, we talked about them. I mean, yeah. They've got some players. They had another kid that was bombing threes on us too. So they look like a different team in that second half. I don't know if they woke up but they played a lot better.
They did play a lot better, but they played a lot better. But we also responded to that and played. But you know, we're also averaging a ton of points per game.
Well, and it was interesting you bring that up because I had looked at I had found an interesting stat, and the fact was that for whatever reason, we have given up a lot more points in the second half of games.
Yes,
we've given up. We're averaging, let's see, we've given up a total in three games of 85 points in the first half.
Well, Vol Nation expert, what would you attribute that to?
I don't know, but it's 85 points in the first half and 132 points in the second half. So big difference on how many points we're giving up now. Some of that's probably mop-up duty, playing walk-ons the last few minutes, giving up some easy buckets. But
some, but not a lot.
I think some of that's going to have to be a part of fatigue.
Without a doubt.
And I think that's going to be a big factor with this team. Are they going to hit a wall? You know, they're only playing seven or eight guys at the most. Any contributable minutes, and you know, are they going to be able to keep playing at this pace? We'll see. But you know, 85 points in the first half, 132 in the second, that's a big difference.
Well, you've got you know, from a standpoint of minutes played, you know you've got your starting five are obviously going to put in the most points, but I tell you what, our starting five, they're all averaging double digit points per game.
Yeah, can you believe that? Five players averaging double figures. And it has been a little bit of a weak schedule to start out, but Lofton 17, Watson 17, Wingate 14, Patterson 13, and Sumnu 12. So, I mean, and you got Bradshaw at 9. So, you know, you got six of those guys. You know, if you'd have told me that we were scoring the way we are with the team we had coming back last year, I wouldn't have believed it.
I wouldn't either. And I think a lot of that has to do with the style of play. We're obviously running down the field. But
defense.
But like you said, you know, letting more points scored in the second half has to be because they're getting tired, because Pearl's style of play is just like that. So
it is. And the defense is causing a lot of turnovers, leading to easy baskets, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're going to take another break here, and we're going to wrap up this show in our next segment. So stick around.
Hang tight.
We'll finish up. Feel like I'm taking crazy pills when I'm sitting over here across from Jay Hizzy.
Man, that's a good thing. I tell you what, I'm sitting here reading the board at the break, and Checkerboard Charlie's cracking me up, man. He's getting the big head from the all the pub he's getting from being on Vol calls tonight, and he's asking Jen Vols for a phone number, man.
Nice.
Charlie is always pimping.
Pimping, getting almost, the digits.
We're gonna have to change his. I'm gonna have to request to have his thing changed to a Big Pimping or something. His title.
That wouldn't be bad.
Not at all.
Well, one of the things that we're going to try to do every show is DatelineVolNation.com. We're going to go back a year from where we were today. So basically, we want to kind of look back and see what are some of the posters saying this time last year. And what's funny, we only have 5 posts on 11/28/2004. Kind of weird.
Well, a lot of the threads were started that day, I think. Some of the other posts probably got posted later or on different threads. But
Yeah,
not near as busy last year. It is this year.
Yeah, we'll give props to Vol Freak. He started out a thread, UT basketball, pitiful.
Sounds like he was in the know.
And we want to thank Vol Freak for allowing us to do this show, obviously. Actually, there was a thread started last year around this time, talking about Randy Sanders. Thoughts on the offensive coordinator by Andy Kelly's fan. I really hope the Vols get an OC soon. I never liked him. And then Vol67 says, won't happen. Sanders is there because Fulmer can keep him on a tight leash and couldn't win with another OC. Of course, you bring Cutcliffe back and all's well.
Fulmer has a tight leash.
A lish? Did I say lish? Nice.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to happen until you go 5-6, and then all hell breaks loose. Man. Going to give a shout out to the Lady Vols. Had a big week this week. Come on now. Probably got some Lady Vol fans on the board. They beat Michigan State, Gonzaga, and then survived against Maryland. Almost lost that game, but managed to pull it out in the Paradise Jam.
The what?
So it's called the Paradise Jam. Congrats to them.
Congratulations.
Hey, also, Smokey's in the Capital One Mascot Challenge, so make sure all you Vol fans go vote for that.
Yeah. Okay. You going to bring up some high school scores or something?
Yes, I was going to give some props to local area high schools that made it to the state championship game.
Woo!
Oak Ridge beat Riverdale, plays Ravenwood in the title game. Alcoa, roughed up Tyner, plays Good Pasture. And Maryville beat Morristown West and will play Melrose in the title game. So, got some good area high school action going on in East Tennessee.
No doubt.
Got some talent.
I think it was a good show today.
I think so.
Yeah?
I think so.
Well, why don't we, wrap it up and get going for next show. I think we had a good one this week. I think it's only going to get better as we go along. Jay Hizzy, I enjoyed this Monday night with you. And
we had a lot of fun. We're going to cut it off so we can go watch the end of the Colt and Steelers game. You know, we're sacrificing our television watching.
Just for you.
Just so we can put this broadcast
just
on.
Just for the Vol Nation listener.
We're going to start a new thread on the board about the podcast, about some ways for you guys to get involved next week like we did this week. And also, we got to have somebody have the opportunity to knock. What can you guys do to try to knock off Checkerboard Charlie?
As Vol Nation member of the week, and We'll talk and
what can be done. We'll see if JMS can come through with some good field reporting, but
lavish you with praise.
It's going to take quite an accomplishment to knock off Charlie. I'm pretty impressed.
I want to hear some calling in to sports radio shows just like he did, and give a little shout out to VolNation.com.
That would be awesome. I know that who's the guy that said he posts on Basilio all the time.
I have no idea. I
can't remember who it was.
Who posts on Basilio all
the time? Who posts on Basilio all the time?
I didn't realize he did that.
Who calls in? There was a guy on here that says he calls into Basilio's show, but I can't remember who it was. So we'll have to, I know who it was. It was JMX Vol.
Wow, he's gotten a lot of shout-outs today.
He has.
He's going to get a big head.
Man, JMX Vol and Checkerboard Charlie, who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it? All right.
Well, we do appreciate it, guys.
That's the end of that chapter.
Be back with you next Monday.
We'll see you.
Same time.